beat song and I'm gonna play it.
Well, he landed at 2 o'clock in the morning at Islip Airport, and unlike Yoenis Cespedes, who may be out for a year to the middle of 2019, he'll get surgery on both heels. Unlike Cespedes, he's playing injured today, but he's a great guest and a good friend of the show. Anthony Scaramucci, good morning, Mooch.
Hey, good morning. But, you know, these guys take the insurance money on Cespedes, but they don't want to do anything with it. You guys tell me what that's all about.
I don't know. The Met management is just, the fact they didn't even know about it. And you're right, the money for the insurance, what is that going? But again, unlike him, you know, you didn't feel well last night, but no chance you're going to miss this show, right? No chance.
No, how could you miss the show? I spent the whole day in Washington. I talked to your friend last night with the orange hair. It was in a very good mood.
Nice.
And then, you know, when I landed at 2 o'clock in the morning, I couldn't find the Uber. And I said, okay, I could commit suicide right here in Islip. Or, oh, wait a minute, I got the Bernie and Sid. What was I going to do?
Well, listen, before you came on, we were talking specifically about the CNN reporter, Caitlin Collins, who was told she's not invited back after her performance yesterday inside that little collection, that little meeting. Bernie and I kind of disagree on this. I think it's ridiculous. And freedom of press means that she needs to come back. We both agree she was rude. We both agree with that. I think she should be invited back. Bernie says she went over the top. What are your thoughts?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, I don't mind her going into the penalty box for unsportsmanlike conduct in the Oval Office. Okay, so if you want to sit her out and start the clock and say, okay, you're sitting down for 24 hours, you can't do that to the United States. Forget about your freedom of press rights. You're screaming and shouting at the guy. They politicized this whole situation on him. You know, we can talk about Michael Cohen as well. Now he's there. He's trying to negotiate a reduction of $200 billion of tariffs on both sides, which will benefit American workers, farmers, working-class families, et cetera. And you're lighting them up on a personal issue that everyone in the world knows is super politically charged and super politically motivated. So I have no problem with her going in the penalty box. But I do agree with Sid that she's got to come out of the penalty box, because whether we like it or not, we are a First Amendment country, and we believe in the freedom of press. And unfortunately, she's allowed to do that in our system. But the president, that's his house, as he happens to work in that house, he's also allowed to say, okay, listen, you're in the penalty box, no Rose Garden for you today, because you sort of can't do that to me while I'm talking to the president.
Exactly.
And you. So to me, I'm not really trying to split the baby with you guys, but I think that's what has to happen, and she's got to get back on the field, because let me tell you something, if she doesn't get back on the field, they're going to galvanize, and they're going to put an enormous amount of pressure on Sarah Huckabee Sanders. They're also going to make this a cause celebre, Bill Shine, who's a terrific guy. And my money, and I didn't talk to him about this, but my money's on the president on this one. The president probably called that shot. And even if his staff said, okay, wait a minute, First Amendment, just leave it alone, put her in the back of the aisle in the Rose Garden, he was probably pretty hot over that thing. No, knowing his personality and knowing that he likes to be treated respectfully, and by the way, fellas, he's answered way more questions than Barack Obama over the last 19 or 20 months. He has a very transparent situation going on with the press, despite their hostility.
Absolutely
anyway,
right.
Anyway, that's my two cents on that.
Yeah, look, and mine, I agree with you. Put her in the penalty box. There comes a point past which she was, you know, she was being disrespectful. She was grandstanding and again, attempting to virtue signal to the Trump-hating CNN audience out there or whatever it was. If she asked about tariffs, maybe it wouldn't have been so bad. She's, did Michael Cohen betray you? I mean, come on, what do you think?
No, she's got the right to answer. Look, they do it all the time. I mean, they used to do it to Reagan. They were really lighting up 20 years ago. They were lighting up Clinton. I know her. I like her. She's a graduate of the University of Alabama, Roll Tide. She's tough as nails. I think she's under 20. And I'm sure because she was representing the entire pool, in fairness to her, that was like a medley of questions that she felt responsible for answering, and she dealt, you know, she fired those out in rapid-fire succession.
And the bottom line, she's allowed to ask him. That's the bottom line.
All right, she's allowed to ask him. So She's allowed to ask them, okay, I'm really sore, Caitlin. You're going to the back of the line today because I'm really trying to get a $200 billion deal done, and I'm a little upset about it. So,
right.
But you gotta get her back on the field because, number one, we believe in the free press. Number two, we have a Republican-style democracy. Number three, orange locomotive, the orange Trump train, is moving, you know, way faster than the Excella.
Right, and you don't want to give them an issue, as you point out, and that's
you don't want to make her a martyr legit, in a situation where we don't have to.
But you don't want to encourage that kind of behavior.
100%, and she's a nice person.
Yes.
So let's all cool off and let's get back on the field together. And by the way, she's allowed to ask those questions.
She's allowed to ask. That's the bottom line. So listen, you brought up Michael Cohen. You said we can go there too. Bernie and I spent the last couple of days, Anthony, playing those tapes. The president may have lied. He may have had an affair. All these things that have nothing to do with his presidency. It happened even before he ran for president of the United States. So we're trying to figure out with all the Lanny Davis hysteria. What is on these tapes? What is on these tapes that anybody can find damning outside of maybe calling his husband status into question?
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, the first one clearly is that. I don't know. Apparently there's 12 of them, so, I mean, it's like the 12 days of Christmas, okay? Every time they turn the tape on, I get in the bomb shelter, you know what I mean? So I don't know what they've got. But here's what I would say. On October the 7th, 2016, a Surgeon General's label, a warning label, was slapped on the forehead of the Republican candidate for president. And the label said, warning, this guy's been married 3 times, we knew that. Warning, you know, this guy likes to talk trash, locker room style. Warning, he's probably done some activities while he's been married. That's what basically the Surgeon General warning label said. Now, the president denies it. It's his personal life, by the way, so I don't care about it. My guess is that, you know, 90% of the American people do not care about it, but it is salacious, and they're trying to generate ratings off it. I'm more upset about the situation between the president and Michael Cohen, frankly, because
yeah.
I think you guys know Michael Cohen, and obviously you know President Trump. Two short years ago, you know, they're super close friends, working very tightly together for 12 years. 2 short years later, because of politics, you know, he's swinging punches at him like Cain and Abel. You know, so I'm not a big fan of that. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood. You guys grew up in a neighborhood. You know, and I don't know what the pressure is on Michael. So I'm not sitting here saying that he doesn't have a lot of pressure on him as it relates to his family, his finances, his children. But I really hope that someone sits him down and says, okay, look, we got to have a long, short term, medium term, and long term strategy. And, you know, he didn't kill anybody, God forbid, at least as far as I can tell from what the information is. And he'll, whatever happens, he'll go on and be okay. One of the things that F. Scott Fitzgerald got wrong about our country, the legendary author, he said there are no second acts in America. Guys, I'm on my 15th act.
Okay? Yeah, no, that's true.
I can't see Bernie because it's over the radio, but I know he's on Act 21.
No doubt about it. Absolutely.
Sid, what act are you on?
50? Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, my point is that, okay, something bad happened. You're going to go through something really bad like the Shawshank Redemption. When you get to the other side, let's figure it out.
But,
and your friends will stay with you. But I don't like friends going after each other like that.
No. This is not cool. The Drudge labeled him a dirty rat, is what, and it seems that he was because he wore the wire, and that's what he did. He wore a wire in September of 2016 before he was under any of this pressure. But listen, Anthony Scaramucci on the line with Bernie and said, I do want to ask you because the aforementioned CNN is not reporting. A lot of people are not reporting this great success that the president had with the EU commission head, this guy, Claude Juncker, yesterday. This is a big deal.
Yeah, it's a very, very big deal. I mean, it's a blinking, what I call a blinking ceasefire. He's the president of the EU. He knows that we have a very unusual variety of tariffs going on both sides now. And a lot of them are unfair to workers, and he knows it's very bad optics for all of those political representatives over there, and he knows that the president is dug in. You know, I also think the $12 billion reserve money, which I disagree with from a capitalist point of view, understand why he's doing it, but I also think that sent a message to the EU that he was dug in, building a trench, ready for trench warfare. So there's a lot of symbolism here. I did talk to the president last night on my Odyssey on the way home. He was in a very, very good mood. He basically said to me, hey, you know, we got $200 billion of tariffs reduced on both sides. He said, but by the way to get the no tariffs was for me to sticking up for the United States and tacking on the tariffs.
Exactly.
Meaning it was a negotiating cudgel. It was a negotiating ploy. And he... And you know, I wrote an op-ed about it, and so we have some intellectual disagreement about what was going on, but he got to the place that I was recommending in my op-ed, and then we were joking. I said, well, you know, if you're listening to me and the world's listening to you, then we'll all be a little worried, right? And we're all laughing, you know. But my point is, you have to give him credit. Whether you like him or you dislike him, you're listening to this show, he really does care for about the American working class family. He is an advocate for working class people, and he's an advocate for the middle class. And what he's doing right now, if he can get this done, it will mean way more productivity and way more economic growth for the United States. But it is busting up the existing system, which is why you're hearing all the screams and the bloody murder drama.
Yeah. In 60 seconds to go, so I'm walking back from the gym on Sunday night, a little rainy night, by myself, nice and quiet, and I get a text from Anthony Scaramucci, not about tariffs, not about Michael Cohen, not about President Trump. Very frustrated Anthony Scaramucci about the New York Mets.
Yeah.
And I started thinking, I said to myself, Anthony Scaramucci, are you close to the point where you're even considering giving up your season tickets for the Mets?
No, I mean, listen, I'm a diehard fan. I don't have any tattoos, but if I had one, it would be like Mets in reverse on my forehead, so when I'm shaving in the morning, right?
Yeah.
And I can see my team on my forehead. I'm not going anywhere, but part of being a Met fan, as you know, and now my older sons know, it's pain. It's suffering. It's whining drama. Drama, okay? I don't get how you're letting Familia go and you're picking up scrubs. That was my point of the text, and yep. It doesn't feel like you're getting anything for the guy, so we don't want a salary dump for the sake of salary dumping. Your fan base wants to win. So let's build a system. Let's look at the best practices around baseball and bring the best possible people in to win. This city wants a winner, and this city will serve a winner. The team's going to make money with or without a winner, but let's get a winner.
Agreed. Anthony Scaramucci, listen, you got to bereave, as they say, about the New York Mets. And listen, we hope you feel better, speaking of...
What a great performance. Yeah. Another great appearance, Anthony. You're the best.
Thank you for that.
Right, I'm all right, guys, though, but I shouldn't have told everybody that I'm staying with the Mets, right? I should have said everything on the cliff, right?
No, loyalty. You're a loyal guy.
Yeah, we love it.
That's your M.O.
We're staying with the Mets, too, so we're right with you.
Of course, you have no choice. All right, God bless, guys.
You too. Feel better. The great Anthony Scaramucci.